Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Thank you, Steve. So many nations are birthed today. So many new stans are birthed. What are the stans? I need to remember them. Kakasistan, Pupukistan. It's a privilege to be here to share the word with you. This church has been a great blessing to us. You had sent Janet and Steve 5 years back to come and spend a week with us. They came. That's the time that the book is published, The Highway to Grace, and he shared about how the church can transform from a legalistic, religion-based church into a church coming back to the root of the gospel. And it was a great blessing. So many pastors were impacted. Thank you so much. And it's a joy to come back here. South Africa has been a wonderful nation to me. The second time I'm coming. Last year we came here, started the business conference, and I just feel at home. I don't know why. It's such a great blessing this nation has to be. Thank you. I'm really excited about the Word of God. The Word is the light that shines in darkness. It just opens up where you feel darkness, hopelessness, poverty. And the inquiring minds, they want to know how the kingdom operates. Religious people just come like vegetables being transported from home to church, church to home, for no reason. But I think God has given us the living spirit in us. We want to know how the kingdom operates. And we have the inquiring minds. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's not blessed are those who keep begging, or just coming for religiously, who have the hunger, who have the thirst, who have the desire to know how the Lord operates. Jesus says, do not worry about all this stuff. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? Where shall I live? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. What do you do? Seek first the kingdom. How do you seek? Seeking is not a religious duty. Try to understand how the kingdom works. How the Lord works. How the ways of the Lord. The Lord says, to you is given secret of the kingdom of God. For those, the unbelievers, the pagans, it's only given as parables. They keep coming and listening interesting stories and go back. They just keep soothing themselves and they don't go deeper. But to you, to the children of God, the disciples of Jesus, God gives the secrets. And we, in order to find the secrets, God expects us to go and dig a little deeper. Yesterday we were talking to Steve. He's such a joyful man. I don't know when he jokes and when he's serious. I'm still trying to understand. Well, he told me, Daniel, I want you to speak on faith because that's what we are doing in a church. And in fact, that's exactly what the Lord has been staring me in the heart. The kingdom, how it operates and how we bring the kingdom principles and the faith together and to see the breakthrough in our life. One of the prominent verses the Lord has been teaching me the last 1 year is 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. And I asked them to put it on the screen. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So this is church, this is the foundation. We come here not to ask to do something. We have not come here to bend God's arms to get us something. He has done everything we need. It's already been done. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. But then we get this. But if he has given, why don't we have it? As Jesus says, do not worry about it. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Do not pray like pagans pray, long prayers, babbling. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. His divine power has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. But then why don't we have them? There's a process. And that's what today we are going to talk about. Through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His glory and goodness. We understand. He has given us everything, and we come to know that through our knowledge of Him. Knowledge is everything. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The knowledge is not we are trying to understand something, we are trying to invent something new. Here the knowledge is that Daddy invites us to come, to understand what He has done for us. And through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Religion goes to this verse from the bottom up. You have to escape from the corruption caused by evil desires. If your eye is causing you trouble, pluck it out, throw it out. You have to beat yourself. You have to fast. How to escape? Then we can participate in the divine nature. Then we can come to what God has given us, everything for life and godliness. No. There's a simple solution here. How do you escape the corruption caused by evil desires? What is the corruption caused by evil desires? The corruption took place at the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam and Eve, they lacked nothing. They never worked for provision. Work was not a labor for them. Work was a blessing. Everything was provided. Adam never had to worry about what to eat, what to drink, where to stay, and what to clothe himself. It was all provided for. So he was working in the position of rest and provision. When the corruption took place, man started worrying. I need to work. If I don't work, I don't eat. So what do? Work as much as you want, as you can. Earn as much as you can. And save as much as you can. So this, the whole world is in this corrupt world system. Cursed world system. And His divine nature has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We can come to this stage, and we can escape the corrupt world system. So how do we escape the corrupt world system? Simple, God's solution. Accept everything He has given for life and godliness. In our church, when the young people come, Pastor, I'm struggling with lust. I ask him, how old are you? I'm 25. You have a job? Yes, I've completed my university, I'm working. And I whenever I look at a girl, I feel so tempted. I said, how do you escape from this corruption? What do you advise? Brother, go and fast. Beat your body. Take your eyes off, they'll put me in prison. Beat yourself. Don't go anywhere. Go straight to the office, come straight home. Don't look anywhere, left or right. Escape the corrupt world system. Now I tell him, hey, God has blessed you with a good education. You got a good job. Get married, man. Right? Get married. He has given you. You want to get over? Having everything you need for life and godliness is a solution to escape the corrupt world system. That's what this verse says. I'm not saying that. It is what God says. So, and there's a process. How do we get to that? Yes, God has provided me, and this is the solution. And then He says, through His very precious, very great and precious promises. Through His very great and precious promises. What does the promises have to do this? How does the promise of the Lord help me to partake in His divine nature? When you go back to the life of Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, God called Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. This verse is quoted from Genesis chapter, from the book of Genesis, when God told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. when you look at this situation, what's the life situation of Abraham? He was old. He was without a child. But what God says, I have made you a father of many nations. What does the promise say? I have already made you a father of many nations. He is a father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives lives to the dead. And what's the nature of God? He gives lives to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. See, this is a promise. When you understand, I have made you a father of many nations. And who gives you the promise? It's a God who calls things that are not as though they were. See, that's the nature of God. When you hold on to the promise of God, you have nothing in your hand. But it's a God who calls things which are not as though they were. This is where the nature of God differs from human nature. He calls Abraham a father before he even had he had one child. He created light on the first day and created the source of light on which day? On the fourth day. Light came first on the, let there be light, there was light, and there was no sun. And the sun he creates on the fourth day. He calls things that are not as though they were. And they are. That's the nature of God. And when you started understanding the promise of the Lord, when you start to hold the promise of the Lord, you start to take part. Partake in the divine nature. See, we all have our children. We come from different nations, and this is a church, a real blessed church. In South Africa, I don't see so many churches like this, where there's a unity of the nations. You have people from every nation, every tribe, living together in joy, and there's such a joyful spirit. We came earlier, I was watching the church, how they love to welcome each other. How, right from the parking, all the way to the seat where you sit, I was welcomed by so many people, as if I really feel at home here. So this is a wonderful church. I don't know why I said about this church. Okay, that's the nature. I think I got carried away. Well, this is a wonderful church anyway. So God's nature is, he calls things as which are not as though they are. So what I wanted to say is, when you live among so many nations, nationalities, culture, yet every culture has a specific family culture you have. Some families eat with their hands. Some families eat with their chopsticks. Some families eat with spoons and fork. So when you teach your kid how to eat, what do you teach? You teach them according to your nature. Right? Some families, it's very important you have to wash your hand because you're going to eat with your hand. Some family doesn't make a difference because they're going to eat with a spoon. You know, you train your child according to the nature, according to your own nature. And God, that's God's nature. He calls things that are not as though they were. And when Abraham could believe this promise, verse 21 says, Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. See, when you understand this God, he calls things that are not as though they were. And he gives me the word, I know he has power to do what he has promised. It's easy. That's faith. Faith comes when you start understanding the nature of God. I just want to touch only on this side today. Because many of us, all of us believe in the Lord, and we don't understand the nature of God, and then we get carried away. We get disappointed. Lord, I did this. I came to the church. I served you full-heartedly. I left everything. I took so much of opposition. Ridicule. I followed you, and this is what you have done to me. Why? We have gone all the way and then suddenly we don't understand the nature of God. The nature of God, this is what he is. And Mark 11:23 says, I tell you the truth. Whenever Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you can pause for a few minutes. You can go dig deeper. There's some treasure there. He's giving you a signal. There is a treasure there. I'm giving you a secret to the kingdom. Every time the gospel Jesus says, I tell you the truth, pause. Ask the Holy Spirit. Now I need to get this mind. There's a beautiful treasure field here. I want to dig deeper. And he says, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what he says, it will be done to him. If you must believe in what you say. See, Christians are very good in bringing everything and making it into a formula, religious formula. You see so many Christian books about confession. You must confess. You've seen so many prosperity preachers talking about how to be a millionaire. You have to keep writing everywhere, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. In your bathroom, bedroom, kitchen, anywhere. If you want a plane, you need to take the picture of a plane and put it everywhere. Keep confessing. Bible doesn't just give shallow promises, shallow formulas. It says you should believe in your heart, and you should not doubt in your heart, but believe in what you say it will happen. So many believers don't even believe. What do they say? It's so easy to say without believing. We become so religious. Recently, I was in our church. There's a lady came. And she said, oh, Daniel, pray for my grandmother. She's sick. She's in another town, 1,000 kilometers away. And I just want you to pray for her. You know what I did? Oh, sister, definitely I'll pray for your grandmother. And I went home. A day passed. Next morning, I started reading the Word of God. The Holy Spirit started asking me, what did you do yesterday? I'll pray for your grandmother. Did you pray? No. And then I started digging a little deeper. Did Jesus ever told anyone, go in peace, I'll pray for you? He never said anybody. Why? It doesn't work. He will say, go, take this message of grace, give her the faith, go and lay your hand on her, tell the Lord is doing wonderful thing all over the world. When she hears the word, the faith builds up. She has to hear first. See, I started realizing, Lord, there's so much of religiosity, worthless religiosity is in me. I keep saying, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. There's no meaning in what, even if I pray, what will happen? I can keep praying. And the woman is already planning her funeral. Nothing is going to happen. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word, but do so deceive yourself. If you just merely listen to the word, you will be deceiving yourself. Do what it says. And then it gives an example. How do we do that? What happens when you listen to the word? Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, what he has seen in the mirror, by doing it, he'll be blessed in what he says, what he does. See, here we need to understand the deception. Merely looking to the, listening to the world and just saying, confessing, is a deception. You keep saying what you want. You can keep pep talking. You can keep saying, I'll pray for you. Don't worry. Go in peace. You'll be blessed. It's a deception. We got to go a little deeper. The Bible is calling us to do deeper. Do what you hear. What do you do? See, I run a company. I went to Kazakhstan as a missionary with nothing in my hand. Because God called me when I was born to be a missionary to the Soviet countries. And I had no dream or desire to start a business. My only dream was to be a pastor preaching to the multitudes. And God in his wisdom challenged me to start a company, Gateway. We started a kingdom company for the kingdom, for the church. And it's been a huge blessing to us. We started very small. Today we grew into more than 20 nations in the world. We are in the oil and gas industry. We employ more than 500, 600 people. We run 3 schools. And the Lord has established. And then recently the Lord started talking to me. This is where I started to practice what I listen. The word of God, because this is where the rubber meets the road. So, 2 years back, the Lord started talking to me. What wisdom are you moving in? I have read so many management books. Every management book says about funding, about finances. If you want to have a small family business, you can run with your own money. You put $100, you save $20, and you eat $10, put back the $10. So your capital becomes $110. Then in a year, it may become $500. In 5 years, it may become $1,000. So likewise, you can run a small family business. But if you want to take your business into an international company, you need to work with a financial instruments, banking. You need to borrow money. You need to play with others' money. Then you can grow exponentially. So it's invariably every management book teaches you this. So I believe this. I did this. And then last year the Lord started speaking to me. What kind of wisdom are you moving in? I said, Lord, I'm building this company for your kingdom. I moved your wisdom. So which Bible verse says that you have to work with financial institutions? I have called you to lend to nations, not to borrow. I said, Lord, but then you know. Every management book says. You want to teach me what the Bible says or what the management book says? Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Your treasure is in me. I bless you. I will fulfill the calling. I repented. I called my CFO next day. I'm giving you this much period of time. We will be completely independent. We'll be playing with our own money. God can do it. And within a year, we are going through crisis. Oil price has gone from 120 to 30. We have cut short our exposure to the bank by 1/3. By God's grace. And we are in the direction. We will move. See, we need to understand how the kingdom operates. It's already done for us. There's no point in keep begging. You understand the biblical principle. And you start implementing it. But the only problem is, the problem with Christians is, I look today and tomorrow I expect the answer. I read the word. I look at I hear the word of God and I want the answer immediately. Microwave answers. It should immediately pop up. See, when you listen to the promise of the Lord, when God gave the promise to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. You will be a father of many nations. What does the promise mean to Abraham at that moment? What does it bring to him? God is the one, we saw that, God is the one who calls things that are not as though they were. But then when he comes home, when he stands in front of the mirror, all that he can see is an old body. All that he can see is an old woman at home. Right? But the promise has a power to give you a picture in the inside. When God tells Abraham, I will make you to be a father of many nations, God expects, or God's word births in Abraham a picture of being a father of many nations. If I tell you, you have a problem, you need 100,000 rands today, and you are in a desperate situation, and I come and I give you a check A check is not a currency. It is just a promissory note. But when I give you the check, take this money, 100,000 rand. What do you see? You see the picture of having 100,000 rand in your hand. You don't have it in your hand. But a promise brings a picture. You don't have it, but you have the picture. And then the problem with Christians is, as James says, chapter 1, a man who listens to the word of God and does not do what he says is like a man who stands in front of the mirror. When you stand in front of the mirror, what do you see? You see a picture. Right? And God, with the promise, God gives the picture to Abraham. You are a father to many nations. The picture he sees on Sunday morning, the message is there. Then he goes home Monday morning when the rubber hits the road. When you have the problems in the work, you start to see a different picture. And then we come back. By Saturday, we are so tired. We come back again babbling to the Lord. Where are you, Lord? Why don't it work for me? Sunday we see a picture. Monday we see a completely different picture. That's why he says the man who listens to the word and does not do what he says is like a man who saw himself in the mirror and he goes away and forget what he saw. Now he's seeing only what is available here. Only the storm he's seeing. Only the depth of the sea he's seeing. Abraham is seeing only his dead body and his almost dead wife. Because he says, whom was dead? It's interesting, the Bible says, he was as good as dead. The whole guy is written off, but the woman only the womb was dead. I think God kept the beauty in Sarah's faith. That's why the Pharaoh was willing to take her as a wife. It's amazing, you know, how believing in the promise makes you young and wonderful, beautiful. Okay, a double-minded man should not expect to get anything from God because he's divided. We short-circuit the wire and we expect the light bulbs to shine. It doesn't work like that. We do it through our unbelief. That's why every time Jesus rebuked, he rebuked for unbelief. When you see other picture, where's the kingdom? It's within you. Don't look around the kingdom. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Why? Because it's within you. Stand in front of the mirror. Keep looking. Where is the solution? Right in front of you, in the mirror. Your answer is in the mirror. The mirror of God's word. You stand there, see what the word of God tells about you. That's why God keeps bringing the picture back to Abraham. Whenever he was discouraged, God takes him out. Get out from your little tent, Abraham. You keep looking at yourself too much, your wife too much. Get out now. Look at the stars in the sky, the night. So shall be your offspring. The daytime, come out. Count the sands in the seashore. So shall be your offspring. Keep looking at the picture. What I have given you. I want you to go home and read Mark chapter 4. I'm sure all of you are reading this chapter. Read once again. Because Mark chapter 4 is one of the key chapters to understand the kingdom. Where Jesus talks about three different parables. Talking about the parable of sowing, the mustard seed, and the parable of the guy who sowed the seed. It's very important because Jesus says, Mark 4:13, if you do not understand this parable, how else will you understand anything else? Because this is a key parable that you need to understand. And I want to talk a little bit about this parable, the parable of the mustard seed. We all know, what is the seed? What's the seed? The seed is the word of God, right? In this parable. And what's the ground? Our hearts. The seed is the word of God. Our heart is the ground. And the seed contains in it a DNA. a life. A life, a specific DNA it has. When you plant a mustard seed, it will give a mustard plant. It doesn't give a coconut plant. Coconut tree. Yeah, it has a DNA, specific DNA, and it has life in it. And when you hold the mustard seed, or when you go to the shop to buy the seed, you have the picture. Or if they have in a packet, they don't put the picture of the seed. They give the picture of the plant. And the flower, when you buy the flower plant seed, they show you the blossoming flower. Why? It gives you the vision. So it is a matured mustard plant picture. So when you receive the word, Bible says you receive it with joy. Why? It gives you the picture. When you listen to the Sunday message, the faith is building up. You start seeing the picture. You can see yourself every time you listen to the word of God. It builds up faith in you, hope in you. But this mustard seed is too small. It's the smallest of all garden seeds, Bible says. It's very small. And when you plant in your heart a mustard seed, with it comes so many other weeds also growing. So many other plants are growing, right? When you plant in the spring in your garden, you see so many things are growing here and there. You see everything. The Bible says, when this little seed, the smallest of all seeds, when it starts to grow, when this little promise among everything you do, you come to church on Sunday, listen to the word of God, this one thing that you do, this one thing that you receive in your heart, it's one among many things you have. You have problems in your work, you have problems at family, you have this issue, that issue, and you have one thing that you are doing it. Church, I want you to understand this. When this mustard seed becomes the biggest plant in the entire garden, that's what faith works. Imagine you have, let's say, 1/10 acre. Your backyard, little small backyard, 100 square meters. And you are having a little garden there. Imagine there's so many plants and there's a mustard. Mustard tree doesn't become a tree, it's a little plant. But Jesus talks about being a tree. He's not made a mistake. He's saying, this small insignificant thing called your faith. Many times you feel your action is more important. Your commitment is more important. Your dedication is more important. Your hard work is more important. Okay, let it be. No problem. Here I'm talking about only a little thing as mustard seed. But please, allow this mustard seed to become, in your vision, the most prominent thing in your garden. This little mustard seed to become the biggest matured tree in your entire garden. That's faith. It's so simple. All that you're seeing, imagine, just for a second imagine, this mustard plant is the biggest garden. It's bigger than any other tree in your garden. That's what you feel. So when you come home, what will you see first? It's the only thing that you can see. And Jesus says, when that becomes, what happens? You become a blessing. You start attracting the birds of the air. The birds come and nest on your branches. That means you become alive, abundant. Out of you, streams of living water is flowing. Out of you, the fruitfulness is coming. Everything you need for life and godliness is already enjoying. You're enjoying everything, and people see that and they come to get life from you. You become a blessing. You become a well that's overflowing. No more sucking. Give, give, give. You started to bless nations. That's what happens. God started to bless. But there is a process here.
The only thing we need to understand, the true nature of God, the promise of the Lord is very great and precious promise, helps us to go through this promise. And keep seeing the picture is a secret as you walk along this promise. That's exactly what God did as an example for us. The shadow of the good thing. We are seeing everything. The whole Testament is written. So that for our own edification, when you go back and read the life of Abraham, I, as a child of God, I'm called to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. So how does God deal with him? What is the Mark chapter 4, verse 28? The same chapter. Jesus says, all by itself the soil produces grain. Okay, he talks about a man who went and sow the seed. And it says, he slept, he woke up, he slept, he woke up. He did nothing. The mustard seed does not grow with your careful observation. If you start doing everyday careful observation, digging, where is the seed, what happened to that? It will die. Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observation. Do not run there, kingdom is there, kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is within you. So what happened? This guy sow the seed. This parable I could never understand. Well, not what you want to say. It's such a simple, stupid parable. Jesus is telling you some nursery stories. The kingdom of God is like this. A man went to his field. He sowed his seed. He went back, slept. He woke up, went back, slept, woke up, and it grew itself. That's a beautiful parable. Lord, what do I have to learn? Now I start understanding. The Holy Spirit started teaching me. I have a principle to teach you here, the kingdom, how it works, without any effort from you. The seed has the power. It will grow by itself. Don't trouble. The seed, the promise of the Lord, does not need any support from you. It doesn't need pep talk from you. Lord, you are good. You are good. I know. The promise is good. Keep seeing the picture, what he has given. Why? Because the seed has a process. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. The process. It grows by itself. As you keep seeing the picture, not you don't see the picture on Sunday, and Monday you start seeing the different picture. Don't deceive yourself. Keep watching. This is a very great and precious promise that calls you, that makes you to take part in his divine nature. So this verse has a process. It says all by itself the soil produces grain. All by itself your heart will produce the grain. That means, what is faith? Faith is when the soil, your heart, agrees with what was put in. The grain was put in. All by itself, your heart agrees with the same picture that is being shown in heaven. When you are sick, your heart says, I'm healed because I see in heaven I'm healed. In heaven there's no sickness and I don't take sickness as an answer. I'm healed. When your heart goes through this process and still firmly believes and the faith is growing, first of all the stalk, then the head, and the head is fully grown, the complete grain comes up. That's the time you see the miracle happen. That's the time you see the breakthrough happen. That's how faith operates. Your heart will produce faith. So stand God. Abraham was fully persuaded with the picture God showed him. He refused to be persuaded by the negative thoughts and the negative facts around him. What do you see in your heart? What do you see, the picture in your heart? If that comes in agreement with what heaven says, that's when life starts flowing in you. That's when you're becoming a blessing to the nation. Don't forget. You don't look intently and forget about it. So how do I get this picture to match what heaven says? The Bible calls us, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. far, it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart from negativity. Guard your heart from negative thoughts. I'll just give you an example, and I'll close. In our church, in our company, as I told you, we went through a very difficult time. So God started speaking to me. Guard your heart. If you come to my office, you will see in my table two photo frames. And I have two Bible verses. One is Genesis chapter 12. I felt God clearly spoke to me in 1989 when I was in Delhi. Leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land, I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. And the fourth verse, I changed the name from Abraham to Daniel. So Daniel left to Kazakhstan as the Lord had told him. So whenever I see difficulty, whenever I'm faced with impossibility in front of me, I go back, read the verse, it gives me a picture. And then I smile, I say, Lord, you have a problem here. I don't have a problem, you have a problem. You told me to come, I came. Now, rest everything is your duty. I'm here sitting in Kazakhstan. I'm not sitting in India and dreaming about complaining to you. I'm still in Kazakhstan. You told me to come, I've come. By your grace, I'm still here. Now, you got a problem. Please fulfill. And I smile. Because the moment I say that, I start to see the picture. It's a God. The one who gave me the promise, I'm fully persuaded. I'm completely brainwashed. I'm completely hypnotized. That He is able to do what He has promised me. But I need to guard my heart. I have few advisors. I have few board members. They are full of wisdom, worldly wisdom. See, especially one of my friends, he's been together, we started together. He will tell me all the time, hey, come on, what have you done? How many people have you fired? Did you look at this company, your competition? They've gone bankrupt. The other competition, they've fired 90% of the people. What action have you taken? So what I did, I will not talk to this guy for 6 months. Because every time I talk to him, he shows me a completely different picture. Daniel, do you have a plan B? If something doesn't happen, what else do you want to do? He's trying to impose upon me a different picture. I love him, I honor him, I respect him, but I don't want to talk to him. So whenever he calls up, I act as if I'm very busy. Hey, can I call you back? And I'm in the middle of something very urgent. So I have nothing to do. I'm just lying in the bed. Something very urgent, very important, watching the picture. Not look at your picture. With all things, above everything, guard your heart. Because that's the wellspring of life. That's where the seed is growing. Guard it. Do not look at any other picture. You know what happened? To God be the glory. We went through a huge difficult time. I have not fired even one staff of my company. I've delayed a few times paying salaries to my people because it was that difficult. And the year has gone by. Most of my competition has gone bankrupt. And we are in a position because we have so much job, we have to take the best brains were laid out by the competition. I'm taking them. And the whole year I'm fully booked. My factory is fully booked. True, our turnover came, our sales became 50% of what we did, but our margin has increased from last year. Let's say last year we did $100 million, we made $10 million. This year we make $50 million, we make $12 million. Why? Because my competition. Last year we are competing. I have to work on 5%, 10% margin. Now I have no competition. And I go to my customer, look, all this, what's happening in the market? Everyone is going bust. And I'm keeping all the stuff. It comes with the cost. And also there's so much of risk in the market. So I'm being very open with you. I will not work anything less than 25%. They say, okay, we trust you. You're the only company we can trust. Please take it. That's all God can do. So guard your heart. May God bless you. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.